Kenneth knew Real 2. So, having got to France, what was the first, you know, sort of thing that you can remember, first bit of action?
Difficult to say, really. It's, I remember being sort of in the middle of an orchard of some sort, you know, being there, and the guns kept firing. This is after we'd moved into the line. You know, and sort of various things like that. And then the one day there was, you know, this 1,000 bomber raid on Caen and Capricorn. Well, I remember the moment of the planes and all out shouting and this sort of thing.
You're shouting encouragement.
Oh, yeah. And then one started going the wrong way and she started telling them to get back, you know. But, I don't know, things, you know, the whole thing sort of moved and you went with it. I can't, there's nothing sort of, nothing really I can make of it. I don't know.
Cause do you remember particular incidents?
No.
How peaceful was daily life? Was it fairly routine? I mean, well, once you get in the line, it can't have been...
No, well, of course, when you're in the line, I mean, in different places, different things. You can be in the line and sort of in view, if you like, but you can be in the line and not in view, and if you're in view, you've got to, you know, make a lot more, you know, precautions, if you like. If you're out of view, then you can do things, but, I mean, you never knew when the guns would open up and start bellowing or whatever. There was one night... or one afternoon, when we were all... I was still with Company Air Corps. We were still sort of all together, and they'd given me a Bren gun for some unknown reason. And I don't know how many, but there were several... JUs, you know, the dive bomber ones, came over, and I was going to get my gun out, and then I heard the noise, and I thought, no, I won't do that. But no, well, it was a little bit too, you know, it was the sort of thing that you think, yeah, I'll do something, and then you thought, no, but I'm not going to do that. You know, it's just something that, but they were a bit close for comfort, if you know what I mean. I don't know, it's very difficult now to sort of remember sort of things from that far away.
Tell me about the way the company worked. I mean, the officer at the top would be who?
The major. He would be in charge of the company, and he had three platoons, and of course his own headquarters. And if we were doing, the usual thing was if the battalion was leading, then one of the four companies, or maybe two, or maybe three companies, would be in front, and the leading platoon would be, say, mine this time, and we would change round. It wouldn't always be the same people leading all the time. It was all changed as the thing moved. It's it's very difficult, as I say, to...
You were presumably moving most of... Well, fairly regularly.
We moved quite a lot, but, you know, various... You know, sometimes we were dug in for the same place for several days, and other times we just went on and moved and, you know, did whatever had to be done, sort of thing.
What about, I mean, can you... where did you go forward? Did you go... names and places you went.
I can't remember names and places now. I'm very bad at names anyway, of people's names, let alone in places. I know we went forward, you know, here and there, and we finished up in France. We more or less finished up at where the armoured thing was. The Yanks were coming in and we were coming in this side. We finished up there. And I can't remember the name of the place. Pardon?
Wasn't Cahier, was it?
No, it was after that.
After that, right.
And then we sort of That's fillets, that's the one.
Right. What did you see of fillets?
Well, fillets itself, no, and I couldn't say that we saw anything. I mean, you could just see fields and, you know, greens, and of course all this German equipment, and a load of German equipment left there because they couldn't get it out. But,
it had been cleared, the road had been cleared, had it, by the time?
Well, yeah, but I mean, we didn't use roads all the time, we used across fields and, you know, all this sort of thing. It wasn't just, the roads are the last place to use, really.
So after fillets?
Well, after fillets, funnily enough, what they used to do was, after you'd been in the line so long, they'd let a couple of people, or, you know, have a couple of days off. Well, when we got there, it was my turn to have a couple of days off. And the next thing that happened to me was, we were trying to catch up with them, but the time we actually caught up with them, because of the, you know, they were moving fairly fast across Belgium then, it was in Antwerp. We got to Antwerp, and we were... company headquarters was in a building, it's the... it was, I think it still is, a cycle track, which was right down against, or quite close to the canal. And we were there, and one of the first jobs I got there, my platoon sergeant said, I've got to take a patrol out tonight up on the bridge. And what had happened a couple of days before, several people had gone up there and got fired on. Or it may have been fairly close to when I got there. He said, I've got to take a patrol out tonight. And he said it to me in such a way that he wants me to go on that. So I went. And I remember crawling across that blooming bridge at night. And of course, they got trams, as you may know, in... and all these blooming things. Of course, you could see just about, but all these cables and that sort of thing were there. Anyway, we did what we had to do and went back again.
What did you have to do on the bridge?
Well, the people up the front, we were there to protect these people. I think they were stretcher bearers trying to bring these bodies back. So we got that finished. And then we moved from there just up the road a bit further, in a bottom of a warehouse. It would have been, must have been there, you know, 2 or 3 days, 4 days, I don't know. And I had to go back to, I was then with the platoon, and I had to go back to company to get the relieving officer of the people that were taken over from us back to, you know, bring him back to our, show him where we were. And I'd gone up to company headquarters, and as you did, tea in those days was this compost stuff, so everything was in it, the milk and everything. And one of the signalers by the door said, do you want a cup of tea? And I said, yeah. I went to the door, threw this rubbish out, and at the same time as a mortar bomb landed, and gave me a hole in the armia. So that was that, and of course from then I came back to England.
Do you know who it was, the officer who you were showing?
No, never met him, you see.
Regiment he was?
No, Canadian.
Canadian.
He was a Canadian. I knew that much, but when I got there he wasn't there, you see. I was ready to meet him. And he wasn't there. And I don't suppose I could have been there more than, 20 minutes, half hour, something like that, when this happened. Of course,
so you took shrapnel, didn't you?
Yeah, a bit of shrapnel.
Happened immediately then?
Somebody came and put it was only... It's nothing. It's about as big as a little fingernail. Mm. But the wound had gone right into my arm, all right? So, something had to be done. I mean, they couldn't sort of stop it. I was 3 weeks in hospital, so. But it wasn't anything of any. It wasn't life threatening or anything like that. But.
So did you get taken back to a Red Cross station or?
Yeah, I got taken back, and the following day I went back to Brussels, and from Brussels I was flown home.
Right. So tell me, You were taken, what, to a first aid station?
Initially? Yeah, our own regimental people.
And then on to another one.
And I don't remember much about that. I remember sort of here on a stretcher, and the bloke next to me was one of the HLI, which is in sister regiment, you know, in the same doing. And he'd been badly shot up, a lot worse than I was. I remember him being there, and I remember the following morning the stretcher bearer type bloke giving me 5 blooming great tablets, you know, 3 times the size of an aspirin, and a little drop of water that he didn't want me to take, and I can take them without. Anyway, we got over that.
What were they for, do you know?
I'll stop the, I don't know, to do something, I suppose. Whatever. didn't know, you know. He said take them, so I took them, sort of thing. That was quite funny.
So then where did you go from there?
I went from there, well, we went back to Brussels. And from
train or?
No, by ambulance. Into a hospital in Brussels, and then from there, all this happened within a fair few days of Nijmegen and Antwerp. What's the other place? No, further than that. Where the Canada the airborne dropped, Arnhem. It happened within a fairly short time there, and we think that it was because they were trying to clear what they could in case they got casualties there.
So
they sent us back.
So you flew from, you went to the hospital in Brussels.
Yeah, and flew back.
How long did you stay there?
Probably only 24 hours or something like that. I don't think it was very long.
It was,
well, it seemed quite nice.
It was a proper hospital.
It was a proper hospital, yeah, civilian hospital.
But, yeah, with military
people, yeah.
Yeah, you had good service there.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, I don't think I had any trouble with it at all. See, it was in my left arm, so it didn't affect me, you know, in that respect. Yeah. I had a battle dress that the blue sleeve was torn up here somewhere that I couldn't lose. Because I was down there, I had my rifle and steel helmet, so I didn't have a hat, this sort of thing. But, no, in general, hospital was, you know, from my point of view, it was no trouble at all.
And then you were flown out
in a Dakota to somewhere down the West Country.
Oh, right.
I don't know where, no. Yeah, somewhere where they do.
Right. Mm. Okay, and that was a hospital?
No, we went to a hospital in up near Birmingham. I can't remember the name. I'll think of it in a minute.
Worcester?
No. I don't know that. I do know the name, but again, it's... It's gone. And there were two hospital wards. It was an ordinary hospital, but there were two wards which were military. They had a sergeant major sort of look after. But he was a sort of some, you know, he made sure you got your pay and, you know, those sort of things. Not disciplinary sort of bloke.
So what was the atmosphere like in that hospital? Must have been.
I think for a lot of us, I mean, what I was going to say earlier... before I was wounded, I'd got to the stage where they can't hit me. So, you know, after a time, you sort of take less precautions. And I think I'd got to that stage. But once that was there, that was it. I was finished. And it was so different, you know, sort of coming back to, you know, being like that, having, you know, lost it for a time. It was quite funny.
So what treatment did you have in the hospital?
Oh, they were only taking this thing out and putting stuff on and, you know, winding up.
Did you?
No, the strap actually stayed on the outside of the battle dress, right. But they say it punched the room right through the arm.
Yeah.
Well, not through, into the arm sort of thing.
So they
nothing.
Kept that clean and
Yeah. And then they decided to send people down to their home. And somebody had this wonderful idea. He lives at, I don't know where they got it from, Farnborough. Well, there's a Farnborough in Hampshire and there's a Farnborough in Kent. So they sent me down to the Farnborough. But the Farnborough in, by Aldershot, doesn't have a military hospital. But the Farnham in... Anyway, I finished up in the hospital in Aldershot. And of course, it was only, you know, half an hour away from home, so it was all right for a few days.
So you come back as a wounded soldier. You saw your parents or your father?
Yeah. Well, it was rather funny because on the, I think it was the Sunday after I was wounded, you know, after I got back to England, my brother came home on leave. And, you know, he was told, because they'd already been told. And on the, I don't know if it was a Saturday or Sunday, but anyway, they came up to see me. And that's when I was saying about my hair. I didn't have any hair about that long, you know. Mm-hmm. And my stepmother wasn't at all amused, I don't think. But still, it happened.
Yeah. So were they treating you differently now that you were a proper soldier and sort of grown up?
And... No, I don't think so. I mean, you know, at the time... I think it's one of those things. You're so keen to go, you go, and all right, it's all right, and then yeah, and then something happens, and then you're sort of you're lost in a way. I think I was anyway, and it I don't know. It seems so different, but I mean, you know, we sort of got out of it all right.
So you were in the hospital in Aldershot?
Lastly. Walsall was the first place. Walsall.
So then Aldershot, and you stayed there for...
Oh, only about a week, I think. Okay. I suppose I was in hospital, what, sort of 4 or 5 weeks, all told, from the time it happened. Mm. And then back up to Colchester to
you
do
then
some...
You were deemed to be fit, were you? Did you get any leave?
Oh, yes, I had leave as well.
Yeah, then...
I can't remember now.
Yeah.
But then back up to Colchester to do some more. Well, to go back to get ready to go abroad, and from there they sent me. And I don't know where the place is, but somewhere in Kent, where we did a bit of training.
So when you say we, were you?
Well, yes, because there were more people coming down, you know, and different people. So, and
were
then
the old people who'd been
wounded. Well, wounded or yeah.
Yeah.
Had accidents or whatever, you know, it's all the same thing. And they, you know, we did a bit of training, and we finished back to Holland beginning of December 1944.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just in time to, because the battalion was out of the line, just in time to go down the Ardennes. Just before Christmas.
Right. Yeah. So, what was it like going back to your regiment?
Well, just the same.
Really.
Oh, no, just the same. Well, one of the things our CO told us along, you know, before we went to France was that if anything happens and they try sending you back somewhere else, you come on back to me, sort of thing. But there was no problem. I mean, you know, those that were coming back were going back to the... To our own battalion, if you like.
Right. So you went back. Did you go back to the same job?
Yeah.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you're obviously pleased to have you back.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Were you still a private?
Oh, yes.
Yes, yeah.
I was then.
Okay. So then it was into the Ardennes?
Then, well, we went down there and then, yeah, we went in and did various things.
Right, okay. Tell me where you went in and what you did.
I can't remember. I know one of the first things that happened down there, we'd only been, because we had our normal luggage, in other words, rounds and ammunition and all that sort of thing. And within 10 minutes of being there, we lost two casualties that were killed, not killed, that were wounded by our own people. Just various things. People not doing what they should be doing, obviously. But I mean, it was accidents. It wasn't anything deliberate.
No, but was that sort of careless? I mean, why did that happen?
Carelessness. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was that.
Was that down to the conditions? Or?
No, I think it was just, you know, people getting ready for something and you know, had a round in the spout room that shouldn't have been in there and things like that. Which, I mean. Normally, if you're going into action, you've got a round in the spout, yeah. But if you're out, you could have a magazine on full of rounds, but there wouldn't be one in the spout. But I think this is, you know, that sort of thing.
What were you told about the action that you were going to take in Ardennes?
I don't know that we were told anything more than, you know, that we're going down there to help the Yanks out, sort of thing. But
so what was the land like? What were the conditions and the temperature and everything like when you got there?
Well, it was cold. Where we actually took over from the Yanks, they were on what we would call a forward slope. So that's the slope, you know. And they were down here, and the enemy was over there. So the first night we were there, and we had to stay in those that first night. But then we moved back here so that we could see them over the top rather than right in front of them. And we were there, I don't know how long. And then we did go forward right into the Ardennes. And that's where it was just ordinary. There wasn't any great, as far as I remember, there wasn't any great sort of thing about it. And more or less from there, once that was over, we moved back from there, and I suppose somebody else took over from us. I can't remember. No, I can't remember how long we were. It's just a bit of trouble.
What did you think of the Americans? I mean, you were apparently going to help the Americans out, but they
couldn't manage. Well, we didn't think a lot of them at that time. I think, you know, for various reasons. I mean, first of all, that, you know, we'd had to go to help them out, and there were, what was it, five times as many of them as there was of us, sort of thing, you know. But, no, I mean, I suppose doing it their way, they were doing the right thing, and, you know, something went wrong, obviously, but it happened. Didn't have much to do with them, really. I mean, because although you saw them, I mean, you couldn't sort of, you know, sit like we are and have a conversation. I mean, it was them and they'd gone, sort of thing.
Did you envy them their equipment or their clothes or their food or...?
I suppose at times we envied them their food because they had so much better, if you like, than what we did. But I don't know. I don't know. I, you know, take it or leave it, sort of thing. Yeah. No. Yeah.
So can you remember anything else about the action in the Ardennes and what you were actually doing? Or?
Not a lot. I know it was very cold, and it was, you know, this sort of thing, and going forward through snow, which was about as, you know, on top of your boot sort of thing. It was a bit difficult, obviously, but I don't think he had the background for shelling us like he had in Normandy and places like that. I don't think he had that sort of thing there. Because obviously they'd gone and then come back again, hadn't they? See, so they hadn't got that sort of thing like they had in France, but you know, it was just another battle, if you like.
Yeah, yeah. So when you pulled out of there, where did you go to?
We came out of there and we went. Up in Holland again. And again, I know the name of the place, but I can't think of it right now. And we stayed there, and then we, again, the beginning of February, we went up to go into Germany.
Right. So where did you go into Germany?
We went into the Reichswald Forest.
Right.
Uh-huh. And that was that was one of the bigger battles. You know, it was a bigger front, if you like. You know, there were more people involved, and it wasn't. It was into the forest, but along the Siegfried line, they're different things. And all we had there was these big forts. I mean, I think we had a room in a place that was nearly as big as this room. It was down underground, you know, all built in timbers and that sort of thing.
And that was quite nice.
That was there, yeah.
Right. Yes.
And, you know, various things happened through there. and
it's
I said
very difficult terrain, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, there's forest, you know, and it's but quite deep forest. But anyway, we managed to push them right back to the Rhine, and then we went back to Brussels for a few days.
What was Brussels like?
Oh, Brussels. Well, we were outside Brussels. No, it was quite nice up there.
Yeah.
Quite pleasant.
Yeah.
But,
you make it sound as though, you know, your action in the Reichswald was not a big deal. I mean, it was long and hard, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
A few sleepless nights and one thing and another. But,
it was very wet,
Well, it wasn't. It was wet, but it wasn't. Probably wasn't as because you've got the trees and things like that. But
Was it the pine forest or?
Yeah.
Yeah, very closely planted.
Yeah. So you weren't. I mean, there were obviously open spaces, but it wasn't that bad, if you like.
You couldn't see very far, though.
No. No, it's a bit. I don't know. We got through there anyway. Yeah.
Right, so in Brussels, was that for...
Well, it was just for rest.
Rest,
and
yeah.
Rest and, you know, get ready for the next one across the Rhine.
Yes. So you went back into the line.
We went back, yeah. We came... By the time we got the airborne had landed, and... Obviously, we then, you know, we went across the Rhine, although it was being attacked when we went across at night. You know, as far as we know, nothing happened. So we got through there all right.
Do you know where you crossed the Rhine?
No. It's probably in the book.
Yeah, a bridge somewhere.
A bridge somewhere. Well, no, it was a bridge that was put up by our own engineers. Mm-hmm. Not ours, you know.
Yeah. British engineers,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So over the Rhine, did you meet a lot of resistance fighting all the way?
No, the first one, and I can't remember the name of the place, but that's in the book as well. We were the HLI were in lorries, and we were in these what they call APCs, which are tanks with the top cut off. So you only got about 3, 4, 6 men in them, you know, and we're going down the road this particular day, and it is in there, and this one gun, German gun, opened up, and he made quite a mess of it. We lost quite a lot of people that day, and I can't, you know, there's quite a lot. He hit the first tank. No, he hit the first carrier. He hit the first tank. And somehow or other, I think we were leading platoon, and he went over the top of us, and the company commander was behind me. And he went into the next sort of 6 or so of these tanks. I'm not saying he, you know, he caused damage. He didn't, you know, kill everybody. But we lost quite... it was quite a bad day, that one was.
Yeah.